You can run a company, raise a family, and handle everyone else's crisis. But when a divorce hits, even the strongest women shouldn't have to do it alone. Attorney Renee Turner joins Women Winning Divorce to reveal why female breadwinners need support and how a thoughtful approach can protect your heart, your assets, and your future. Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life. This week, I sat down with family law attorney and founder of Thoughtful Lawyering, Renee Turner. We had an honest conversation about what it really means to be a successful woman going through divorce, the pressure, the expectations, the silence, and the reality that even the most capable women need and deserve support. Renee shared why compassionate advocacy isn't soft, it's strategic. And she revealed the most common mistakes breadwinners make and how you can avoid them. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, Renee Turner, a family law attorney and founder of Thoughtful Lawyering, joins us. Renee brings a unique blend of legal expertise and heartfelt compassion, helping women navigate divorce, clarity, confidence, and emotional support. Her approach focuses not just on the legal process, but on the woman behind the case, her goals, her fears, her strengths, and her future. Today, Renee and I will be discussing the myth that successful, high-earning women can just handle divorce alone, why compassionate advocacy is essential for the female breadwinner, and how women can build the right support team before, during, and after divorce. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it is our pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us today. And I was wondering if you would be willing to share a little bit about yourselves for our listeners.
Sure. So I've been a practicing attorney for over 13 years. I started my career as a judicial law clerk and then moved into what many people call big law. I spent nearly 8 years at a top New York City law firm as a corporate litigator. And during that time, my pro bono practice was focused on helping survivors of domestic violence navigate their divorces. And that work was incredibly meaningful to me. In 2020, my life changed dramatically when I lost my husband and the father of my two children, who were just 2 and 4 at the time, to cancer. Experiencing such a profound loss at such a young age really shifted my perspective on life. And I felt a deep pull toward work that was more personal, more human, and that genuinely impacted people's everyday lives. So that's what led me to start my own practice, Thoughtful Lawyering. It's a more holistic approach to family and matrimonial law. I truly care about each of my clients, and I want to guide them through the legal process in a way that feels supportive, transparent, and empowering.
That is amazing, Renee. I think that that is so amazing for the people that you help, right? When there can be a reason why we do what we do and that matters to you, I think one is can be more fulfilling, but makes you just a better lawyer for the people who come to you.
Yes, so true.
Now, many of our listeners are the breadwinners in their marriage. Why do successful women often feel they need to handle divorce without help?
I think many successful women feel that they need to handle it on their own because they're used to being competent, organized, and self-sufficient. And whether that's in their careers or in their households or in their relationships. And so when divorce enters the picture, they often have this internal pressure to maintain that same level of control and to prove to themselves and maybe to others that they can navigate it without relying on anyone else. They also think there's a layer of fear about vulnerability, right? And asking for help. And successful women were conditioned to believe that needing support somehow like undermines our strengths or our accomplishments. And so I feel like that's why successful women sometimes feel like they have to do it on their own.
And do you find that high-achieving, successful women often downplay their emotional needs as well during divorce?
Yes, unfortunately, I do think that that happens. And I think it's because they've been conditioned to prioritize everything else first outside of themselves. They're usually caring a lot, like a demanding career. They may be mothers. They may have leadership positions at work. And they probably, you know, don't want to lose that identity that they've built of being capable and composed. And so when divorce comes up, they might shift into more of a problem-solving mode rather than feeling the weight of the emotions that come with separating from a spouse.
Also, I think what you mentioned, you know, first when they're handling that, like, vulnerability is something that they worry about, right? Because they're like, well, if I show a vulnerability, then my husband may take advantage of it. And then now I am going to be at a disadvantage.
Right. Exactly. So true.
Now, your approach is called thoughtful lawyering. Yeah. What does that mean in practice?
So for me, thoughtful lawyering, it's lawyering with intention and empathy and providing clarity for my clients. It's not just a focus on my legal expertise, which obviously I bring to all of my cases, but because divorce is deeply personal and involving children, finances, homes, and the women's futures, I try to look at them as more of an individual and not just another, you know, client. And practically for me, that means understanding my clients' priorities, their fears, their long-term goals, so that I can craft a legal strategy that aligns with those goals and what they envision for their future. I think a lot of times women can be so focused on right now and not thinking big picture about what their life will look like once the divorce is finalized. Mm-hmm. I also think that thoughtful lawyering requires transparency and education. I've come across a lot of clients and individuals in general who are just uninformed about the law and what their rights are. And I really try to educate my clients and provide them with their options as opposed to just telling them what they should do mm-hmm. so that they can make informed decisions for themselves and do that in the context of not feeling overwhelmed, but feeling informed.
And that is, I think that's always a challenge in legal representation. But then one of the most important things is educating our clients so that they can make the best decision for themselves. Sometimes, I don't know if you've experienced this, or, you know, when a woman is going through a divorce, there's so much, they get really overwhelmed. And sometimes it's really hard for them to absorb a lot of that information.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, framing it in the more lay terms so that they understand like what this means and not speaking in legalese. So, you know, to eliminate the confusion.
Well, and that is so important because our clients need to understand, right? So many lawyers can often, you know, there is obviously the legal language, but if they can't understand what we're saying, then we're really not helping them, which is what we're trying to do, right? Now, how does understanding a client's emotional experience impact the legal strategy you may build for her?
For me, it's very important. I have, you know, several conversations with my clients just to understand where they are from an emotional perspective. I think it's important for me to know where they are to tailor my approach and to protect her. Like, for example, if a client is feeling overwhelmed or intimidated by her spouse, understanding that emotional context to me allows me to create a strategy that will reinforce her boundaries and ensure that she's not just agreeing to what her spouse is asking out of fear. Mm-hmm. And it also, I also found, I don't know if you see this too, being able to pace the process. Sometimes it could feel like such a fire drill. Like they have so many decisions to make and it seems like it's moving so quickly. And mm-hmm. I want to like sometimes slow it down, allow them to understand what's happening, guide them, and make sure that they are really making decisions that are protecting themselves, their children, if they have children, maintaining their financial security, and also thinking about their future so that they can continue to thrive.
And that is important because we know that the court process takes time. It takes a long time to get through it. However, I think sometimes our clients, you know, maybe in the beginning, they're like, this is going so slow. But there comes a point where like, wait, now it's so fast. And I got to make all these decisions and I wasn't ready. And that, so that's just a big part of it is getting them ready for the many decisions they're going to need to make.
Right, exactly.
Now, what are some of the biggest legal mistakes female breadwinners make early in the divorce process, in your opinion?
I think the biggest one is underestimating their own financial vulnerability. Because they're the primary earners, they often assume that they'll be fine, right? Mm-hmm. But they may not be taking into consideration the full financial picture and what that will look like long term. So like in terms of their assets, their retirement accounts, any tax implications, and then how support obligations might affect their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I think another common mistake is agreeing too quickly to financial or parenting arrangements out of guilt. They may feel like they need to be overly generous when perhaps mm-hmm. they don't have to. And having those conversations on their own with their soon-to-be ex-spouse may set the tone for the case, because if they have a discussion, they make these concessions, and then they talk to a lawyer, and the lawyer is like, ah, actually, that's not in your best interest. The other side may feel like they've, you know, misled them in some way.
Why do so many high-earning women give up too much just to keep the peace?
I think they're exhausted and probably have been carrying so much for so long. And not only are they dealing with a divorce, but they maybe have demanding careers, family responsibilities, and then emotionally supporting others. And so they might be looking for some relief and not looking for a fight. And so the quickest way to like get back to their life is to concede. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of them may feel guilty, and maybe there are opinions in their life from other people, family, friends, that they're being maybe perceived as being harsh or selfish. But that's why I think it's really important to have an advocate who can explain to them what it truly means. And what they're entitled to, what their rights are.
And I agree with you. I think that's so important, because it's hard. I do think that women who, you know, with careers, and particularly if they are the primary breadwinner, I think they naturally have some guilt already if they have children, and they worry about that. And I think that men know this, their husbands know this, and they prey on that a bit in the divorce.
Exactly.
Now, you work closely with women who are juggling children, careers, and massive responsibilities. How do you help them clarify what they truly want from the divorce, not just legally, but their lives, their future?
So I actually ask them, usually during one of the initial conversations, I ask them to think about what they need emotionally, financially, and practically to live the life that they'd like to live after the divorce is over. So like thinking about what their priorities are. Their values, any long-term goals in terms of like, what does their co-parenting arrangement look like? Do they want to have career flexibility? What is their living situation? Do they want to stay in the house, start over and move? Just thinking about it from a perspective of being proactive as opposed to reactive to what their spouse may be proposing to them. And then just separating what they think they should want to ask for as opposed to what they truly need. I think it's just giving them that space to be thoughtful about those kind of decisions.
And those are just light decisions. Those are huge decisions that probably take more than just one conversation, right? You need time to process and really dig into those kinds of choices.
Yes, exactly.
Now, what should professional women know about protecting their businesses, brand, or future earning potential during the divorce?
So I always explain to my clients that understanding your business or your professional work is a major asset in a divorce, honestly, and it's important to know or get guidance on knowing what the valuation is of their, if they have a business, documenting their contributions, and then any income streams and intellectual property and how that may be treated in the divorce, and then structuring agreements that protect any future earnings. And I think it's really important to make sure that any income or profit that's generated in the future is protected now and during the divorce proceeding, and positioning them so that they can continue to grow professionally and they don't feel stifled because of the divorce.
I think that is so important. And now, I also, you have a great website, which for our listeners will be in the show notes and everything. But I was looking at that because you really offer a different approach that I do want you to explain a little bit to our listeners, because you aren't following the traditional or stereotypical route like our firm, right? We go to court, we do like from the beginning to the end, but you offer a lot of different services that I'd like for you to explain a little bit, like, and how you do that.
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, I really value educating my people who come to me. So one of the things I offer that I think is a little bit different is a legal strategy session. So let's say there's a client who's thinking about divorce but hasn't made any real steps toward it, but really would like to understand what the her legal rights are, what the law says, what she's entitled to. So I do these sessions where we'll have an initial conversation. I'll deep dive into what her life is and what she envisions it, what the issues are, like the things that keep her up at night, and And then I put together a legal strategy. So I explained to her what the law is and what the divorce process will look like, what the outcomes could be. That way, when she's ready to pull the trigger, she already has this information and she's not walking in blindly. I think a lot of times clients will go to lawyers, the lawyer will ask for the retainer, but they have no idea what they're getting into. And then they feel blindsided later, which is unfortunate. But if they have an understanding going into it, I think it's helpful. One other thing, I do try to specialize in uncontested divorces. And I do it from the perspective of I'm not a mediator. I do represent one side. But presenting for my client to their spouse a proposed agreement and then negotiating from there. I think when you start in court, sometimes it can set the tone of the divorce and be very contentious. And sometimes clients come to me and they really do want to try to get through it as amicably as possible. So I try to do that for them. And, you know, obviously it's not always the case that ends that way, but at least we can try.
Well, and I think that's a great option. And I think that many, I'm sure with your clients and same with ours, they know if, you know, they know because obviously it's their husband, it's their relationship, if maybe they're going to be able to work it out or not, right? And they also, they may say, oh, I really hope so. But it's like, okay, but why don't you tell me about him? Like, is this really something that she's like, no, that's just what I wish. Or yeah, like we've been talking about it. We're still friends. We both are, you know, want to do the best thing. And I think that's great because that way it just reduces the animosity down the road. And you have control of your situation, which once it gets into court, you just lose so much of that.
Exactly. And I think another factor for mothers is, you know, the children get an attorney, at least in New York, they do. And, you know, just trying to avoid exposing them to that and becoming, you know, so integrated into something that's probably not for them.
Yes, because New York is very different like that. But that's, I'm sure it serves its purpose and can be really good. But that's also a really good motivator as to a reason not to take that route when that's possible.
Right, right.
Now, you also do, I don't know if you do a lot of them, but I think since we're talking about our female breadwinners and high-earning women, let's talk about postnups because I know that that was on your site as well. I think that it can be an amazing tool if you're not quite ready for divorce, but maybe something's happened and we need to rebuild trust, right?
Yes, definitely. And I think there's not enough out there like educating people about postnups. Everyone knows a prenup, right? But when issues come up in the marriage, if you do want to protect yourself, you can enter into a postnup. Obviously, your spouse has to agree as well, but it helps to avoid the maybe contentious litigation later if you can outline how you want certain things to be resolved in anticipation of divorce. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll ultimately file for a divorce, but at least you're prepared and you don't have to rely on the state law to determine how your life is going to proceed, how your assets are going to be divided, things like that.
Right. So for our listeners, you may not have a prenup, right? Okay. So, and if you're already married, that ship has sailed because pre is before married, but the prenup ship has sailed, but not the postnup. And it is a great, great tool. I cannot emphasize that enough because I think that one, a lot of women, a lot of people just don't even know about it, right? And it can be a way like, even what you're saying, and I'm sure it comes up when you're talking with women about strategy sessions, sometimes like, well, maybe you want to try that because you're not quite ready to go divorce, but you feel like you each need to kind of come to the table and agree on that so that then maybe now you can work on your marriage without that hanging over your head.
Yeah, so true. Exactly.
And we've done many postnups. Hey, and some do end up in a divorce, but you've really paved the way. It's much cleaner. And then many don't. You know, many, it's like it was just the right tool to help them move forward.
Right, right. I love that.
Yeah. And I think it sometimes, even though I think prenups are great all the time, even if you don't have anything, but too many people are like, well, we don't have anything. So we're not going to do it. I think it's just because of the conversation and it's a worthwhile thing about money and about futures. But, you know, for those who haven't done that, the postnup can really be a very useful tool and help in a lot of situations with things that are going on in a marriage.
Yeah, so true. And with a prenup, I know there's a lot of stigma around not having those conversations. But honestly, if you're going to marry someone, it is a financial partnership. And so having that conversation before marriage may be what you need to, you know, solidify that this is my person and we're making the right decision, because you don't want to end up in divorce and then be stuck with having to litigate these issues because it's expensive, right? Like you could pay a few thousand dollars up front to get a prenup as opposed to paying tens of thousands later.
And I do. I think you and I are on the same page with that on the prenup. And I've had several guests and we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but it's like, that's the time to have. If you view it as a difficult conversation, it's easier to have it before you're married than after, and a few kids down the road and a bunch of things that you just really didn't want to talk about. So you probably still haven't. It doesn't get any easier.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk a little bit about support systems. What does a strong support team look like for a woman facing divorce, in your opinion?
So I think there's three components: an emotional side. So having people in your life who you can talk to and who will listen without judgment. And sometimes it may not be family or friend, but you can hire a therapist or seek some kind of professional assistance just so that you can have a safe space to process your emotions, because it is an emotional process. And then the second is legal, obviously, to hire an attorney who understands not just the law, but also takes the time to understand your unique situation. And I think you really have to be, thoughtful about who you're selecting as your attorney so that you feel supported. Because I have run across several people who they feel disappointed in their representation. And they feel like their attorney's not listening to them. But I think that's really the due diligence that the client has to do up front when they're selecting an attorney, to make sure that they're choosing the right one. And then practical support. I think oftentimes, especially if you're a high-earning woman, you may underestimate the toll that a divorce could take on your life. And so thinking about, like, what does your childcare look like if you have children? Are there ways to manage your household that you don't have to do personally so that the transition from being married to divorce is less intense and overwhelming, and so that you can focus on the legal process and getting through that?
You know, that is a really great point, because that, you know, just that practical support and what can you do in the household that is going to give you maybe a little more peace, a little more ease, and just, right, you know, and hey, if it gives you an extra 30 minutes to an hour a day, we could all do a lot with that, even if it's just like relax and take a breath, right? But like, that's so important. And we underestimate like the value of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can women do right now, even before filing, to set themselves up for success and avoid common pitfalls?
So I think first is understanding your finances, understanding what your assets are, if you have any debts, like getting a full financial picture up front so that you're better able to make informed decisions later. If it's a high conflict relationship, you might want to start documenting. Mm-hmm. It's important to be able to bring to your lawyer. Your lawyer's not, right? Your lawyer's not in your life every day. So your lawyer doesn't know what's happening. And so you may feel frustrated because your lawyer is not understanding. But if you have it documented and can present it, it's a lot easier to explain and for your lawyer to understand. So if there are certain parenting issues that you're having, if you feel like maybe assets are being moved around, things like that. And then, you know, like I said before, like building that support system, maybe before you initiate the process, is helpful so that you're prepared and you're not doing it from a sense of urgency. And then, like we talked about, like thinking big picture about reflecting on what your goals are for the future so that you can make decisions focused on not just right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I don't know. I think in a lot of ways that it's scary to think about, oh, now I've got to do all of this to prepare. And I'd rather not think about, you know, the things with the divorce. But getting those things in line and having some of that preparation can really make a big difference.
Right. Yeah, so true.
And I think what you talked about is also so important. I don't want to like not talk about it enough. Just educating yourself, you know, for your clients, like understand the reality of your situation in court, right? What is going to most likely happen with custody and time sharing and, you know, really understanding what's that going to look like for you? Right. Because I think many times our clients just, they have no idea. And that's part of where all that fear comes in.
Right.
The unknown, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And there's so many ways to educate yourself. Like you don't have to go into it blind, and you can find resources to help. Like that's why I offer a strategy session. I try to share information online that's free, just so that people can get a better understanding of what they're entering into, like you said.
And, you know, for our listeners, it's so important because, you know, even all of the best lawyers, doesn't matter who they are, they don't, in the time that you're going to meet with them and they're going to have your case, they are not going to know everything. Yeah. It's impossible. And so I think a lot of that preparation, a lot of the note taking, the documenting that you can do is ultimately going to really be better for you because your lawyer will have a better understanding because you're not going to sit there for 4 hours and tell them your whole life story, yes. Right? They're going to, you know, nobody, that's not a good use of your legal fees.
Right. Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, if you, and I think for why that is also such good advice is if, as you begin to write it down, you also kind of can see some clarity and you might see patterns in what has gone on that you may or may not have even noticed before.
Right, right. That's so true. And I think, you know, another you said about using your legal fees wisely. What I mentioned before about maybe having a therapist, you don't want to use your lawyer as a therapist because it becomes very expensive. And they're, you know, they're, of course, you want someone who's compassionate, but their goal is to navigate the legal landscape for you. Whereas if you can find support outside of your lawyer to share your emotions, that's a much better use of your money.
I agree. And I think, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, well, you know, I just like talking to you. I have had clients tell me that. And I'm like, I get it. But exactly what you said, Renee, we're looking from the legal standpoint, like, how does this work best in that arena? And you should have someone to talk to that is going to help you in your life arena and in dealing with your emotions. And if you share children with your husband, they're not going away. Like, they're going to be around for a long, long time because, you know, as long as, you know, you have a relationship with your children. So those other avenues, those other support team, they can be around for much longer, right?
Right.
Nobody's calling us like, oh, the kids just turned 18. What are we going to do at graduation? Like, you're not calling your lawyer for that when you got divorced like 10 years ago. You're not. Mm-hmm. You ought not anyway. You ought not. Like, there should be somebody else. But I think that's really important. And, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about really getting those resources and the support and understanding, right? You know, everybody should be in their lane. Your therapist should not be giving you legal advice or telling you which way to go that way. And your lawyer should not be giving you mental health advice.
Right.
You know, except just like your basic stuff. But really, it's like, I think for our clients and for our listeners, if you can really understand why we want that for you, because we do think it's better for you.
Yes. I think you should look at divorce from a holistic perspective. Like, what do I need to meet these specific needs to get me through this transition? And being thoughtful about that.
Yes. Yes. Because it will be worth it if you have that kind of support throughout. This doesn't have to be a tragic, traumatic story.
Right.
It can just be something that you got through and you will live through and you can be better off in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so true.
Well, Renee, this has been a great conversation. and I would love to ask you, which I ask all of our guests, what does winning at life mean to you?
That's such a great question. So to me, I think winning at life means being truly fulfilled in every area of my life, but especially as a mother. Like I mentioned, I have two children and also as an entrepreneur. When my husband passed away, I was confronted with the reality that life is so short. And I wanted to make sure that my life had meaning and that I was living in alignment with my purpose. And I also wanted to show my children that even through incredibly difficult transitions, we can not only survive it, but we can thrive. And it's interesting because I relate very deeply to my clients because I too grieve the life that I thought I would have. And I think a lot of divorced individuals do as well. And that's exactly like I want to convey to them that you get to decide what the next chapter of your life looks like. Right. And it doesn't have to be dismal or defined by the loss of your marriage. It can be full, it can be intentional. And you can design whatever you want for yourself and for your children if you have them. So just trying to be hopeful and positive.
Well, I love that. I love that, Renee. And lastly, where can our listeners find you for more information, resources, and guidance?
Thanks for asking. My website is thoughtfulloring.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube at thoughtfulloring, and on LinkedIn under my name, Renee E. Turner.
Well, thank you, Renee. And for our listeners, we will post all of those links in the show notes. But this has been a great show. We've reached the end for today. But thank you so much, Renee, for joining us and for shining a light on why even the strongest, most successful women deserve support during divorce. Your insight shows women that strength isn't about carrying everything alone. It's about choosing the right people to walk beside you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up, I want to share something personal. On February 17th, my book, Unbreakable Divorce, will be released on Amazon. I wrote this book for the woman who feels scared, unsure, or quietly asking herself what comes next. After walking along so many women through divorce, I know this season can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to break you. Unbreakable Divorce is a reminder that even here, you are strong, capable, and not alone. Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.